it looks like we don't know what we're doing.
You're right. Amen. We're giving to the world. No, I wanted to have Jared say a word tonight before we get the special and and a short message and then a time of prayer for him and his family. If you're visiting with us tonight, Brother Jared and his wife Bernadette. Bernadette, I asked Jared if you ever did say a word, you know, just a testimony, and he said, oh, yes. So we got you ready tonight, okay? We'll get you up in just a minute. We don't need a salvation, just something about going to Puerto Rico, okay? So, but this couple is going to Puerto Rico on Thursday. The tickets are bought, ready and ready to go Thursday, and on deputation now for this quite a while, and still waiting on some support to come in, but he'll fill you in on what they're going to do. I did want to introduce the family that's here tonight. Of course, Brother Marty and Heather and their children are here, and then his mom, Debbie. And in case you don't know, some of you have come since Rich and Debbie have been helping Marty and Heather down in Springfield. So, Debbie, stand up there if you would. These were faithful, faithful people here at our church. And you talk about a servant's heart. Unbelievable. And then Mrs. Worley, Bernadette's mom, is here tonight from Elgin, and so glad that she's here. And this is a big time for Jared and Bernadette. And, the years of planning and preparation and toil on deputation, and now the time has come for them to leave. And so we're excited about this event for them. So Brother Jared's going to come, say a word. What I asked him to do is kind of just give a little bit of a timeline, not necessarily a salvation testimony, but when he got saved, when he got called to ministry, when God began working on his heart about Puerto Rico, because he told that here a long time ago, and many haven't heard it. And then some other things about deputation possibly. But Brother Jared, come on and talk to us a little bit tonight. Brother, we're glad that you're here.
Thank you. It is a blessing to be here. It really, really is. Every time I get to come home, it's just a wonderful blessing to see. See all of you, and a lot of familiar faces, a lot of new faces, you know, and both of that is really, really wonderful. But it's a blessing to be able to, wherever we travel, to be able to say we come from Faith Baptist Church, Reuben, Illinois. Really, you have a wonderful testimony across the U.S., and that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So thank you very much for that, and for the opportunity to come back and present, for really the opportunity to be sent out of this church, to have Faith Baptist Church as our sending church. That means so much to us. I love this church. I grew up in this church. My family joined the church when I was just a few months old, This has been, you know, this is where I grew up, and so just to be able to say that, you know, that we're being sent out of this church, this church is backing what we want to do in Puerto Rico, is such a wonderful blessing. Like I said, I grew up here, Faith Baptist Church. When I was 5 years old, we were having Bible class, and my mom asked me if I'd ever been saved. I said no, and I remember we had the Bible there, so we read through some verses in the Bible, and I prayed and said I got saved then, and I realized, honestly, a couple years later that I never actually got saved. I didn't really understand what I was doing. Honestly, I just prayed a prayer because I knew that's what my mom wanted me to do. And I fought with it for a couple of years before finally I decided, you know, I was done fighting. I told my dad on the way home from Wednesday night church I wasn't saved. I was 9 years old. And we got home, read through the Romans Road. You know, I'd probably seen the verses 100 times before, been out soul winning, seen other people get saved. But it wasn't until that night, March 21st of 2000, that I pray and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I was a senior in high school was when God began to work in my heart about being a missionary. It was at a missions conference, you know, and I did the same thing every year for missions conference. I came forward the first night and I prayed and said, you know, God, if you want me to be a missionary, I'll be a missionary. And then, you know, I thought, okay, I'm done. That's all I need to do, you know, get through another year. And that week I went back and sat down, and God just started speaking to me about being a missionary. And didn't make any sense to me. Of course, if y'all know me, especially back then, I was a very, very shy, quiet kid. The thought of, you know, speaking to anybody was terrifying, and the thought of, you know, doing this was just unthinkable. But I knew God was calling me to be a missionary. So I changed all of my plans, went to Providence Baptist College, majored in missions. And then it was there while in college, I'd been praying about where God wanted me to go. And as a sophomore, through just a few different things, God led me to Puerto Rico. Just kept kept showing me a bunch of different things about Puerto Rico. I started, you know, seeing the Puerto Rican flag everywhere and the Puerto Rican bumper stickers on cars, hearing about Puerto Rico on the news. It was a bunch of different things. God just kept saying, Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico. So I said, okay, God, you know, you lead. And since then, I met my wife in Bible college, and we graduated in May 2012. We got married in June 2012, and able to take a survey trip down to Puerto Rico in September 2012. And it was during that time that God actually led us to the actual city up in the mountains that God wants us to start a church. It's Utuado is the name of the city. And we're very, very excited to have the opportunity to get back down there and see what God can do with us. We've been on deputation for technically just over 4 years. And God's really been blessed in a bunch of different ways. We've been in about 300 different churches all over the U.S. And we did about 360,000 miles on our car. We've been gone through three of them. So God really has been blessing on deputation. We say it's 4 years, but during that time, we also had Jack was born, and of course he had the struggles there in the beginning. So that took us off the road and took me off the phone for a few months. And so I had a gap in meetings there. So we decided to take the opportunity to go down to language school, and we went to a language school in South Texas. And spent about 15 months down there learning Spanish. And praise the Lord, we graduated from there in May, this last May. And at least the college says that we speak Spanish well enough to get to Puerto Rico. So that's a good start. But while we were in language school, I was also we went to a Spanish church while we were there, and we were able to help them start a bus ministry. They were given a bus, and so I talked to pastor after Wednesday night church. He said, you know, we were given a bus, we're starting a bus route on Sunday. So I talked to him, said, you know, I grew up in the bus ministry. I love it. You know, how can I help? And so I was thinking, you know, he was going to say, you know, you can be a silent partner or, you know, help in a Sunday school class or something. And he said, well, actually, we've never had a children's outreach before, so can you come teach us how to run a bus ministry? So that's, of course, all in Spanish. Jumped us into speaking Spanish there right away, which I mean, honestly, turned out to be a wonderful help. But since graduating, I've been able to preach, I believe, 8 times in Spanish. And so God's really been blessing. And then in August, I was able to lead my first 2 people to the Lord completely in Spanish. Just a wonderful opportunity that God worked out to put us, you know, in the right place at the right time. And that's a wonderful opportunity that we've had. About 3 weeks ago, I had a great opportunity to go down to Puerto Rico. It was a quick 5-day trip. First, I do want to say thank you so much for that. I know the church provided a lot of money for us for me to be able to go down there. And you know, after the hurricanes that came through, you know, we'd seen all the news about them and everything, and we're wondering, you know, is Puerto Rico still there? I was able to go down and spend about 5 days down in Puerto Rico, and In the main cities, we're going to be starting out here in the second largest city in Puerto Rico. And so in the main cities, they already have electricity and water and phone service, and the stores are pretty much stocked and everything. So where we're going to be going, they have everything that we'll need. God really, you know, provided for us there. The electricity actually came on the day before I got down there. So they were without electricity for, I believe, 53 days. So when we were down there, I was also able to preach in the church there in Puerto Rico. That was a wonderful blessing. They didn't have electricity at the church yet, so we were also handing out relief supplies. And so one of them was a tent light that we were giving out. So we decided to open up the package so I could use my tent light to preach that night. But it was a great opportunity. And then we did went up into the mountains and up into the villages. Actually, we were able to go to the city where we're going to be starting a church. It's about an hour and a half north of where we're going to be starting out. And so we went up there, and got to go back into some of the smaller villages, and they didn't have electricity, they didn't have any clean water at all, coming up on almost 2 months, and they hadn't had anything. So, we just had basic supplies. We had some flashlights and batteries and some tuna fish and some water purifiers. And we just pulled up to different families' houses that we saw. The family was outside, and offered them the supplies we had. And, they're just so grateful, and saw, a lot of tears and opportunity to present the gospel to them there. The people are, they're hurting. Even where they have electricity and everything, there's just a lot of question, how could this happen and everything like that. So this really is just a wonderful time for us to be going down. There's a lot of questions, and we have the book that has all the answers. So we're very excited to be able to get back down to Puerto Rico. We are leaving on Thursday. So it's wonderful to be able to say that. This plan has been in the works for quite a while. The missionary that we're going to be working with, Brother Copeland, he is going to be coming back for a 9 or 10 month furlough, and so we're going to be watching his church while he's away. He has a very well established church there in Ponce, Puerto Rico, and so we're going to be staying there at their house and driving their car and taking care of the church. So I'll be preaching and everything, just jumping right in. We'll have about 3 weeks together, and then they're taking off for the furlough to be back in time for Christmas. And then it's going to be us there. I'm going to be preaching and everything. So jumping right in with Spanish. Very excited about that. Very, very nervous about the Puerto Rican Spanish is quite different from the Mexican Spanish that we have grown used to. So we're going to have to get used to a different accent and everything. But we're very excited to be able to get there. Right now, our big prayer request right now is we're praying that we have enough support raised by the time Brother Copeland gets back from his furlough that we can just stay there in Puerto Rico and get to work right away on starting our own church up in the city that we know God has called us to. So we're at just over 65% of our support now. So we still have a good ways to go, we have quite a few churches that have said that they're going to be voting to take us on this January, or that they're going to be taking us on once we get to the field. So, if everybody who says they want to get on board with us here does take us on in January, we're actually going to be oversupported. So that'd be a good problem to have. But of course, that is what we're praying for. We're praying that God will provide in just a incredible way that we can't even see how he can make it work. That is what we're praying for. So please do join us in praying for that. And before I go, I do just again want to say thank you so much. I know you pray for us. When we come back by and talk with people, you're up to date on what's going on. That really is a wonderful blessing. The texts and the emails and phone calls, cards, everything that you send to us. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to us. I can't even explain, sometimes we just gotten a text that, I know is from God. You had no idea what was going on in our life, but decided to send us something. That's been such a wonderful blessing. So thank you very much. Faith Baptist Church will always have a very, very important part in our heart. Thank you.
Hey, brother, don't ever say you're over-supported. Just say you're well-supported, okay? Or something like that. Don't use the word over, all right? So, all right, Bernadette, your turn. Come on up. You don't have to be as long as your husband was. Just say a word about how you feel going to Puerto Rico, okay? Appreciate this faithful lady. Has some health issues with her diabetes, but is a fighter. Is a fighter. What would knock a lot of people out of even considering going to a mission field, she just fought through. And I appreciate that. So say a word tonight. Amen. Amen. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Again, thank you very much. As Jared said, thank you very much for not only supporting us financially, but so many of you have texted us. And we know you're praying for us, and that has really helped get through a lot of just difficult or frustrating situations. especially in language school, when you, well, new members would understand this. If you're new here, before you start having friends in church, you know that you're coming just because you love God. And we walked into a situation where we did not know the language. We didn't know the routine of everything. We knew this is what God wanted us to do, and we started to do it. So to the new members who haven't met us, we are going to Puerto Rico, and we did grow up in church, but we do have a slight feeling of what you're going through right now. Keep at it. Keep coming. You are doing the right thing. A quick story. My first time in church, I was very excited. I walked in, and we sang "Send the Light," which in Spanish is "Da la Luz," give the light. And I sang with all the gusto that I could. I was fitting in with the culture, you know. So I just sang "Da la Luz, la 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 Luz, la la Luz, la la Luz," which means "Da the light, da 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 the light, da the light." I sang that for 3 verses. I was very excited with myself, and everybody just kind of looked at me like, "Okay, the crazy white girl," you know. My first Bible verse, I was so proud of myself that I learned this verse. And I told it to our seven-year-olds through 9-year-olds. You know, they learned verses in school, so I needed to learn verses in school. And I told them, "I will make you sinners of men." there was a growing process there. We had a lot of people laugh at us for a lot of different reasons. But even through that, I mean, we were trying, you know, and they were so gracious to us. But with those hard times for us, we learned, you know, God's strength is so much stronger. He helped us through a lot of different things. My other verse that I learned was when Jack's brain was kind of, it was bigger than normal, but he was just growing. We didn't know that at the time. And I learned, "En el día de temo, yo en ti confío," which means, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." I learned that my first semester, and really English comes easy to me, and I'm kind of an English snob sometimes. So then walking into Spanish, the rules are very different, and the whole culture is embraced in it too, and it wasn't clicking. I was trying to think in English, but I was supposed to speak in Spanish, and it really wasn't working. And then Jack had his seizure in January. And for the first time, as I was praying, "Dear God, please help my son," I thought in Spanish, "En el día te temo, yo en ti confío." That's the first time I thought in Spanish. And I knew God gave that to me. But I know it wasn't just me. God's strength, it was so much stronger. And I know part of that, I know people here have prayed for us so much to help us. And just those times, even when they didn't know what was going on, we know you prayed for us. And so thank you very much. We're excited to go to Puerto Rico. We will have our same phone number, so go ahead and keep texting, because I know there will be some, I will misspeak many times. So thank you very much, church. We really do. We really appreciate you. So thank you.
All right, listen, we wanted to send you all away with something, and you got a Bible already, and this is the Bible, or no, it's down there. If you didn't sign it this morning, I hope you'll go by and sign the Bible tonight, okay? You're packed to the load already, so we can't send stuff, okay, because I know what that is. So in this envelope, there's about $425 worth of gift cards, okay? There's Walmart, there's Amazon, there's McDonald's. You got a McDonald's down there.
Yes.
There's a Wendy's.
Yes.
100% so far. Burger King.
Yes.
All right. Subway. Ah, there it is. Okay, so there's money on these. Okay, not just, don't lose them. All right, so I'll give it to you. Amen. That's right. You won't use it. We love y'all. We're thankful for what God's done in your life. Want to be a blessing. Maybe that's something you can have and use while you're there. It's things that you need. God bless you. Amen. Appreciate it, man. All right, come on, Dan and Abby, Kelly, sing for us tonight. As soon as they're done singing, I'll bring a brief message, then we'll have a time of prayer for Jared and Bernadette tonight.
I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand.
He rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out, debt I could not pay. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am. The chains of sin and set me free.
But still I live in a foreign land, but now I'm free according to redemption's plan.
Song the holy angels cannot sing. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. The chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign.
Singing tonight. Open your Bible to Acts 13. Acts 13. To say we're a little bit later than usual, of course, getting to the message because of our testimony, but I am glad that, and I'm happy and fine with the length of. I told Jared to take some time. I didn't want him to stand up here for a minute and be done. And so, but because of that, we're a little bit late getting into the message. And so I won't have you stand tonight. I'm just going to read here the first three verses of Acts chapter 13. All right? Acts chapter 13. Follow along. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, talking about the church, they sent them away. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity, this great honor you've bestowed upon the Montgomery family, the Worley family, and on Faith Baptist Church and Northwest Bible Baptist Church, to pick and choose two young people from those churches and families and put them together as husband and wife and send them to a distant land to preach the gospel. No greater honor, I guess, could be bestowed. And so we rejoice tonight and look forward to what you're going to do through Jared and Bernadette and their family in Puerto Rico. Help me tonight to be an encouragement to them, and bless our church, Lord, as we send another couple away. I pray, God, that you'll raise up even more in future days to follow in their steps. In Christ's name, and amen. Brother Angel, you're not supposed to keep everybody. Those words were spoken to me by a preacher friend when I was going through the number of young people that have left out of Faith Baptist Church and gone on to other places, either in full-time ministry or married those who are attending other churches on a full-time basis and serving God in the local church wherever they are living. Brother Angel, you're not supposed to keep everybody. And he's right. You're not supposed to keep everybody. And over the years, we haven't kept everybody. Now, I wish I could say that nobody's ever left for a sad or bad reason, but I can't say that. Some leave for sad reasons. Others for reasons that are a part of God's will and God's choice. And we've had this plethora lately of young girls who grew up in our church here and now have married young men who are maybe not in ministry, but they're faithful in serving in other churches. And we'll do that again next March. We'll lose another one of our young ladies who grew up here, Bailey, as she marries Paul. And they move to Iowa where they will serve in the church out there. And you don't keep everybody. Sometimes God moves folks away for specific purposes and as a part of His will. And so now Jared has been gone, basically, since he started Bible college back in 2008, okay? And boy, I tell you what, I had a feeling, I even told you, and I know I told them, that I had a feeling in my heart that it was going to take a while for them to raise their support, because Puerto Rico is not a romantic country. It's a United States province. And, you know, the 1040 window in the Middle East and Madagascar and these countries are, if you will, let me use the term romantic. In fact, there are some churches, the only missionaries they consider for support are those going to the 1040 window. And Puerto Rico's not there at all. And so I had a feeling it was going to be a long process, and it has been. But they've been faithful, and they've been persevered. They persevered, and now God has brought them to the place where they're leaving this Thursday. Now, the church in Antioch did not keep all of its members, and this was a special place, this church at Antioch. It's where the believers were first called Christians. They were called followers of Christ. They were given that name by the townspeople who observed their life and said, "Those folks remind us of the one we've heard about named Jesus Christ." And so the outsiders, if you will, named the disciples Christians. Barnabas and Saul were highly influential among others in the church. Their names are mentioned in chapter 13, verse 1. Simeon and Lucius and Manaen. Maybe there were others, but these five were named in this chapter. Now, I want you to notice several things, three or four things about this. Number one, I want you to notice they were men of service with servants' hearts. They were men of service with servants' hearts. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord. Ministered. The word ministered means serving. As they served the Lord. They were busy serving the Lord. They were preaching and they were teaching and they were actively walking with God and they were being an example and instructing others in the same way that they were walking, and they were meeting the needs of a congregation of people. And you know, that's the type of person that God calls to full-time service. He calls somebody who has a servant's heart. You know, I was thinking about Jared a little bit this afternoon, and I said earlier that, you know, Debbie was one of the finest servants of God that was in our church. She had a servant's heart to help people. And it's interesting that that same spirit has fallen on several of the children. These people, these men in Antioch, they were yielded to God like clay in the hand of the potter. They were moldable and they were pliable. They were allowing God to use them. There has to be a willing servant's heart in order to be used by God. This couple would not be going if they didn't possess a willing servant heart. Servant's heart. Number two, I want you to see that two of these men were separated by the Holy Ghost to leave the fellowship. You see that in verse number two. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, maybe these five men met and prayed together. Maybe they got together and had, you know, planning meetings on how to lead the church like we do here at Faith Baptist almost on a weekly basis. Maybe in one of those prayer or planning meetings, the Holy Ghost moved on their hearts as a group of men to separate Barnabas and Saul to leave the fellowship and go to a distant land. Now, this is what Jesus had told them would happen. Jesus said after His ascension that the Holy Ghost would come upon them in power, and they would be filled with the Spirit, and they would become witnesses, and they would not all witness in Jerusalem. Some would witness in all of Judea, and others in Samaria, and others would go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that was God's will for Barnabas and Saul. They were in that group who would go to distant places with the gospel. They were separated by the Holy Ghost to leave the fellowship. I want you to see number three, they were called to a work. Look at verse number two again. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. They were not called to a life of leisure and ease. If you know anything about the ministry of Barnabas and Saul, you know that it was not a bed of roses at all. They had to travel. How did they travel back in those days? On foot? By donkey or camel? They didn't have any vehicles or planes or even motorized boats. They might have had ships that sailed with the wind. The travel that they had to put in. Who knows where they slept? Who knows what they ate? Who knows where they took a bath? Who knows how much they were able to rest? And, you know, their message was not always well received. And they were not always well appreciated. And at times, did you hear what she said? In her testimony, this group of people, they were new. They didn't speak the language, they didn't know the culture. That was Barnabas and Saul. They would go to distant lands where they were strangers. In a foreign land, there were conversions and there was fruit from the ministry and there were changed lives and it was wonderful, but it was the result of work. God called these men to a life of work. Number four, I want you to see that they were prayerfully sent away by the church. Look at verse number three. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know, there's power in individual prayer. But there is also power in corporate prayer. And in this case, the church prayed and sent Barnabas and Saul away. What do you think they prayed for? They probably prayed for God's blessing on their ministry. They probably prayed for God's protection. They probably prayed for God's supply. They probably prayed for God's safety. All the things that you and I would pray for and have prayed for Jared and Bernadette. So here we are tonight, church, in the 21st century, following the example of this first century church in AD 44. Here we are now in 2017, and the work of God in this changing world, The work of God is changeless in method and fashion. It's ongoing. People get saved, they get baptized, they assemble together, and once in a while God reaches down and says, I want this couple, I want this man, I want this young lady, I want these people to go to these places and leave the fellowship. So we're doing the same thing now that they did in the first century in the city of Antioch, in the church there. Jared and Bernadette are two servants of God, young people who grew up in church, as Bernadette said, or Jared said, one of them. Both grew up in church, and they were saved through the church ministry, and they had servants' hearts, and they've been separated, they've been picked, they've been chosen by the Holy Ghost for a work in Puerto Rico to which God has called them. By the way, that's not a bad example to follow at missions conference time. Just put yourself on the altar and say, God, if you want me, here am I. And like he said, maybe it became ritual. Maybe it became just something he did. Okay, got that done. But boy, did God have other plans. Reached down and called Jared and now Bernadette. Then they marry and now they're going to Puerto Rico. So we come tonight as a church to prayerfully send them off to that work. And people, don't be misled to believe that, you know, it's just Puerto Rico. Yes, it is a United States province. Yes, they can go to Burger King, Wendy's, Subway, although that's nice. Amen. Believe me, that's nice. Okay. But I want to tell you something. Well, it's just Puerto Rico. It's not Asia. It's not Africa. It's not Australia. But I want to tell you what it is. It's still away from family. It's still away from friends. It's still away from familiarity. It's not home. Yet. Yet. But it will be, Jared. It will be Bernadette. Because that's what God does to the heart of a missionary family. God knits their heart to the people, the land, the culture. And missionaries come home for furlough, and after a few months, they're anxious to return home. I got to tell you, it kind of stings a little bit when your granddaughters are excited about going home. Home being 10,000 miles away. You think to yourself, what? But that's what happens. That's what becomes. For their families, for the Montgomery family and the Worley family, the airport will become an emotional dichotomy. It's the most happy, and it's a place of great gladness when they come home. It's a place of great sadness when they go away. That's what happens to the family. Jared and Bernadette, as you go, I want you to remember several things tonight. First of all, I want you to remember that you are ambassadors for Christ. You're not being sent to a distant land to represent the government of the United States of America. That's not what you're going for. You're being sent to a distant land to represent the Lord of heaven and earth, our Savior Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for the Lord. I want you to remember that you are servants of God. And as servants of God, you are called to serve His people. And that's how you will serve God there, by serving the people of Puerto Rico, and first in Ponce, and then as you go to that other village that I can't pronounce the name. Amen. Remember, you are called by God. You're called by God. When the going gets tough, now you've had a good little taste of toughness on deputation. You've had to stick it out. You've had to survive the quitting places. You've had to survive the discouraging times. But it's not the end of them. We were at the men's retreat. Five or six of us went up there a few weeks ago. Brother Jeff, Matt, and you guys. We had a good time. And after the service on Friday night, this young pastor, did I tell you all this? I forget if I tell things. This young pastor stopped and said, you know, he was talking, said, thank you for the message. And he said it was encouraging. And then he just started in. And he said, you know, this and this and this and this. And there were some other people, other men waiting to talk. And he just went on and on and on and on. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And, you know, and I finally just said, brother, hey, listen, man. I said, you know what? Sometimes guys have the wrong idea. They got the wrong mentality. The guys that have larger churches don't have any quitting places. We do. Everybody has to learn to survive the quitting places in the ministry. Everybody has to learn. You just can't walk away. You got to stick it out. And Jared, the fact that you can go back to a time and a place where God called you to Puerto Rico, that's God's will, that's God's place. It will help you when the going gets tough to stick it out. God's called you to that land. Remember that. Remember, you are called to a work. It is not leisure. Yes, you'll have times of recreation. Yes, you'll have times of rest, hopefully. Maybe you can pick up a hobby in Puerto Rico that you did. I know your family fished all those years up in Canada. Are you close to the shore? Maybe you can go deep sea fishing. I don't know what you can do down there. If there's any deer to shoot, I don't guess there is. No deer to shoot? Well, all right. Now do something else. A rabbit or a squirrel or something. But you know, but seriously, you're called to a work. You're called to a work. And I want you to remember this. Remember, you are supported by God through the faithful and sacrificial giving of God's people. Boy, as a missionary, that has to weigh heavy on your mind. Remember how Paul put it, folks, when he talked about the offering that he got from the churches at Philippi and Thessalonica? He called it a sweet-smelling savor. Remember that? You know, that does not mean that when Paul got the money, he thought, money. It's not what he wanted. No. When he got that money he held in his hands, he realized who it came from. It came from people who probably gave up what they needed so Paul could be in those places preaching the gospel. And remember, Jared, that you are supported by the faithful and sacrificial giving of God's people. Don't forget that. And then remember, somebody will be praying for you. Now, I had this thought. Whether it's a widow or a family or a teen or a child in this church looking through the missions booklet, oh yeah, there's Brother Jared, and saying, God bless them and God help them. Or maybe it's somebody in Elgin doing the same thing. Or maybe it's somebody in another supporting church. They voted, they took you on for support, and now they're praying for you. Or maybe, what did you say, 300? How many? Right around 300. How many supporting churches? 51. So that's 249 churches you were in that for some reason couldn't take you on for support. But maybe one of those people picked up a prayer card and the church has never sent you a dime. But sometime in going through their prayer card, some dear saint will say, I remember that couple. God bless them. God help them wherever they are. They don't even know you're in Puerto Rico. You have somebody praying for you. Somebody will be praying for you. Somebody will be taking your name to the one who sits on the throne of heaven and supplies your needs and gives you protection and gives you power and makes you able to serve Him. Somebody will be praying for you. As a church tonight, we come to a place in time where we're doing exactly what this church did back in the first century. We're separating. The Holy Ghost has separated a couple and said, I want them to leave. And we're sending them away with a full heart and with best wishes and praying for God's power and blessing on their life and ministry in Puerto Rico. So I'm going to ask Jared and Bernadette to come and kneel here at the altar tonight. And just for a minute, church, we're going to just have a time of prayer asking God to help them and bless them as they leave us, leave their families, their friends, to go to an unfamiliar place and serve the Lord. Brother Jeff, I know you probably taught all the Montgomery children in college and career Sunday school class, or at least the majority of them coming through. I know you taught Jared. So why don't you come and kneel here beside them. And if you would, just lift your voice and ask God's blessing on this couple. And then I'm going to do the same. And church, you can just observe or pray with us as we pray together and ask God to bless this couple.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray for your Holy Spirit's power, God. You separate them for your work, God, and for your people in Puerto Rico, Father. There's special people out there that will only be raised if Jared and Bernadette go out there. Father, I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be upon them. Lord, that they would know, Lord, that they have people back here that are praying them for them and lifting them up in prayer, God. Lord, we just think of Jared, Lord, help him be the leader, Lord, in his home and at the church, Father. Help him be everything he needs to be. Lord, for that church, Lord, he's going to fill in and supply in that pulpit, God, while the pastor's away. Father, I just pray, Lord, that once the pastor comes back, Lord, that you give them a people on their heart, Lord, in that other city, God. Lord, may their hearts be broken and open, Lord, when Jared gets there. Father, I just pray.
Yes.
Prepare the way, Father, for this good couple. God, I just pray, Father, that you be with Bernadette. Strengthen her body, Lord, for the work that's
yes.
ahead of her, Father. We just pray, God, Lord, that you'd be with the parents back home, Lord, that are sending these kids, Lord, away from America, God. Or, Lord, to a foreign country, Lord, where you have a work for them, God. Father, we just pray, God, that you meet their needs. Lord, above all, God, help us as a church, Lord, to give. Lord, to meet their needs, God. And the supporting churches, God, that would are right waiting for them to go on the field, God. Lord, help them not to wait anymore. Help them to send them the support, God, that the Montgomerys need, Lord, to keep them on the field, Father. We just pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Father, we come tonight with a full heart, very grateful for the work you've done in Jared and Bernadette's hearts to bring them to this place. We're thankful for that day in their lives when as younger people, younger children maybe, they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and were born into your family. We know that's a miracle from heaven. Salvation is such a miracle. And we thank you for that. We thank you for their upbringing, for what they were taught at home in Sunday school, in church services. Thankful for the tender heart they brought to an altar and just made themselves available to do your will. We're thankful for that. And now, Lord, here they are, married. You've given them a little boy. And now, God, they go to Puerto Rico Thursday. Please, oh God, go with them. May your presence be felt. I pray, God, for provision. I do ask, Lord, that you will make it possible for them to stay when this 9 months is over. I pray, God, that you'll touch the hearts of some of those churches that have told Jared they would vote on him after the first of the year, or vote support him when they got to the field. I pray, God, that they will follow through. We'd like to see his support, Lord, be everything they need by the month of January, February next year. So please provide for them. And Lord, please give them peace. I pray for peace in their hearts, Lord. And I've talked to young men who have taken their families to distant lands. And they talk about that plane landing. And their wife and their children are with them. And they realize this is for keeps. We're staying. And Lord, there's anxiety. That's very natural, human. But I pray the sweet peace of God will overflood their hearts, O Lord. And that you'll be with them, peace of mind and heart. I pray, Lord, for their protection, their safety. I pray, God, as their bodies get accustomed to a different land and food and culture, that you'll keep them well. I pray for little Jack. I thank you for the miraculous work you brought in his own body. And just pray that you'll continue, Lord, to be with him. Protect Jared and Bernadette, as Brother Jeff asked, strengthen her body especially, Lord, as they labor there together. Father, I pray for your power to be upon him as well. I pray that the power of God may be on Jared. Lord, when he stands to preach, I pray that you'll help his tongue to move through the accents and syllables of those Spanish words. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost will help the people to hear and be able to understand. Will you help him as he prepares messages? Help Bernadette as she teaches lessons. And I pray that the church will be edified and strengthened in Brother Copeland's absence through this couple's ministry. I pray for any other children that might be born to them, that God, you'll please protect and be with them in a special way. Lord, I pray as you lead them to another village eventually, I pray that you will go there even now and begin to prepare a people for them, a people for the gospel, a people who will respond to the invitation to be saved, baptized, and grow in grace. So, Father, we pray for their families. I pray for the Worleys, Elgin, as they say goodbye to their daughter. I pray that you'll strengthen them. I pray for Rich and Debbie, all the siblings, as they say goodbye to their son, brother. I pray that you'll strengthen them. Lord, you said goodbye to your son one day, who sent him to this world so that we could be saved through his death, burial, and resurrection. So again, Lord, with a full heart, we give them to you. And God, as a church, we commission them and pray that you'll send them with blessing unspeakable and use them, O God, in your work. And we'll thank you for it and give careful praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. For it's in his name and his worthy name that we pray tonight these things. Amen and amen.